I guess I should have issued a spoiler alert about the scripture I'm going to read, but you've heard it before anyway, so you know. It's the story of the disciples on the Emmaus Road from the Gospel of Luke. This is the same day of the Sunday of the Resurrection, by the way. It says now on that same day. Now on that same day, two of them, followers, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was still alive, that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." May God add a blessing to hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. To listen to the hymns that we sang this morning and the beautiful piece that Anne sang, how confident it is, how confident they are, not only that Jesus is with us, but that we know it. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to know that Jesus is there, kind of what I was saying to the kids. And it's not any lack of faith, I don't think. And I don't think it's you know, a misturn in my life. It's just when you're so, well, there was this thing at Xerox, so you put it on the wall. It's when you're up to your in alligators, it's hard to remember that your initial objective was to drain the swamp. But when we're really hurting, you know, We are so consumed, it seems. I get so. It gets so consumed that it's hard to remember that I'm not alone, that we're not alone. It's strange in a way. Years ago, well, before I go on, I hope you took a minute to look at the reflection thing that I put in, because it really gets at this issue. Years ago, there was a young woman who was part of a church I served, and she was very faithful in all things, and just, you know, had faith. Kind of, she was one that people in the church turned to talk about faith issues. And then her mother got cancer and went through a long time with it. You know, back in those days, it was not even as good as it is now in terms of having a good way to deal with it. And I went to the room one day and with her mother, and she was there, and she said, "I just feel so lost." And she said, "You know, I know that we always say Jesus is with us, but I'm having trouble connecting with him right now. I'm having trouble connecting with him." For some reason, her grief and her sorrow and her sadness and her anger, all that stuff had so consumed her that all that other stuff had kind of filtered down for a while. And I'm not saying that's wrong, because we are, you know, human people with all those emotions. But I tried to say, you know, you probably don't want to hear this right now, but you need to hear it right now. You need to hear that Jesus is with you. That God cares, even in this valley of the shadow. That's what the promise is. So tonight, maybe, when you're home and have a time to get away from the immediacy of this, try to focus on that. Try to bring Jesus' presence back into your life and let him sit here with you tomorrow, and let him walk with you over the next days, weeks, months, whatever it is. I'd love to say that she went hallelujah, you know, and everything turned good, but I can't really say that. She continued to struggle, and I continued to try to reassure her. And it was kind of strange, because her mother was completely sure. You know, it was kind of a contrast, the one who was, you know, suffering the greatly physically knew the presence of Jesus. And her daughter knew it, but couldn't feel it. Sometimes we need our eyes opened. In this story, it says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Which is, you know, I don't know if that's just an try to gloss something that people expected. But if you look at the resurrection appearances, almost no one recognized him. Not right away. You know, Mary, until he said her name, she didn't recognize who it was. On the beach, they didn't recognize who it was. You know, and, it's so the risen Jesus was different in experience there, and I think it's different in experience for us too. There are so many times that we're on that road, and it just seems like we're all alone. And that's, quite frankly, part of the reason that we have a church family and a church. Because that's when we are called to be Jesus' eyes and arms and hugs and reassurances during those times. Everybody needs that reassurance and that comfort and that love. There are many, many times and many reasons for this. Now, Pastor McCall said, you know, we'd hoped the shadow on the CAT scan was just a false alarm. We'd hope the first signs of forgetfulness were nothing to worry about. We'd hope the company would rebound before there had to be more layoffs. It's not just, you know, these big life and death kinds of things. So many times we face something that even the people who's closest to us may not know that we're going through. May not know. And when we feel like we have to go through it alone, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And so we need to sing, "He Lives." Well, maybe not the whole song, but, you know, we have to get that idea. I serve a risen Savior. He's in my life today. That's the key. We need to keep that in our minds all the time, no matter how hard. Churches go through this kind of thing, as you know, where something happens and, you know, we had hoped that we weren't going to have to go through this. We'd hoped. But we don't anymore. But then Jesus comes along. And the presence of Christ is with us. And it buoys us up and helps us move forward. It brings us a search committee. It brings us a process and something. I mean, you know, a lot of us are kind of about the United Church of Christ, but they bring a process and help in difficult times. In a way, they are kind of Jesus' voice to us. But we also have to invoke Jesus' presence ourselves. And that's why when I say something about if you're called for the search committee, prayerfully consider it. Because it's not something you're going to do alone. There's nothing that we face that we do completely alone. No matter how hard it is to remember that. I was thinking about how to kind of tie this up. And I could go on with examples, of course, forever and ever. But what I decided, there's a poem, and most of you have probably heard it, and it's called Footprints. And some of you will like to hear it again, and some of you probably think it's been done to death. But I'd like to read it for you now. One night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever, during your trials and your testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I was carrying you." My suggestion to us is that we don't wait for the end to realize what this says. And don't wait till we're in life review, you know, going back and saying, well, where was he? All the time, now, we need to acknowledge that presence, to acknowledge that help, and keep God's love and Christ's caring always in our hearts and minds.